singing in Negro Nazareth.
Come and see now.
Oh, he's saying he's Christ Jesus. No, I'm not. You're just crazy. You just need some education, that's all.
Children of Abraham.
Now, I don't know any other fathers.
We are not the children of Peter. We are not the children of Paul. We are not the children of imams and preachers or rabbis or anybody. We are only the children of Adam and Abraham upon them be peace. Yes.
In the Quran, addressing through the Prophet Muhammad's mouth, I am not the father of any of your children.
Seal that up forever. Just in case they might say, he's greater than Adam. He's greater than Abraham. So he is our father, Father Muhammad.
God forbid.
The greatest prophet of them all is what?
Our brother. God Almighty is so sweet.
He doesn't typify. The prophet is not a symbol or a type or he doesn't typify some urge in the human nature. The prophet typifies the life of the common human being. He didn't come to demonstrate something in the history of man's awakening to himself. He came to show what the mortal creature can do when God is on his side. Demonstrating not forces in the human nature, but demonstrating the human role in society. Oh, my God, I love it so much. Tell them I'm a mortal man just like you. We know we knew that. Anybody who saw him, they knew that.
What is that speaking to? Not only to our ignorance in religion, maybe possibly we'll say later on he was a god or angel.
Certainly it's speaking to that, but it's speaking even to higher wisdom, a higher knowledge. That is what I mean by that, a more subtle, a more secret knowledge. It is saying that this prophet does not portray forces in the development of man, but he portrays the complete man and his role in the society.
You see now why he's the last prophet? See now how there can't be any prophet after him? There were a chain of events that were designed to demonstrate, to portray the scheme of God for advancing man to his full potential. Some pains to represent one phase, or one stage. Others pains to represent as more advanced. When the complete thing is done, nothing else is to be done. When it was completed, Allah gave us the Muhammad. He typified the completion of that scheme. Nothing else is to be done. Oh, there's not going to be any more problems. What do you need them for? Book that God made has been preserved. God preserved it himself. He has assigned angels to his book. It's not going to be corrupt. It's not going to be destroyed. It's going to remain intact because Allah himself protects it.
He said it. I'm a believer. I follow by Muhammad. That's it.
I don't want to hear no interpretation from your mouth.
That's it.
There is the book, as it was revealed about 1,400 years ago.
We're still reading the same word. It hasn't been subjected. It hasn't been reduced to the experimentation of any the circle of scientists. No, they start experimenting with this, buddy, and you will see some heads roll. Because there are Muslims so devoted to this book that if they thought some of us was over here twisting the original language of this book, they'd come here and sneak it in, man, and they would get your head off so quick. You'd reach up to wipe your mouth and nothing would be on your shoulder. The dignity we are due. And Allah loves for us no less than the dignified excellence he has put into us by nature. We have a potential for excellence. And Allah doesn't want us to have half of that. Don't want us to be deprived of any part of that. He wants for us the full potential of the human excellence.
Does anyone love us more? No, indeed. No creature can love us as Allah loves us. They say Christ loves you. Well, I worship him that loves Christ. And I'm happy to know that Christ loves me. I worship the one that loves Christ and his mother. And the world before Christ was ever born. I hope to have this all finished by 3:30. Rush away from you all. I like your company. You know, when I was a little boy, people used to look at me and occasionally they would say to me, they say, you have sad eyes. And what brought this back to me was the other day my wife looked at me and she said, what's bothering you? I said, nothing. She said, you look worried. I said, surely people used to tell me when I was young, you have sad eyes. Because they can't identify deep thought from sadness. I'd be in deep thought and they think I'm wearing or something. I'd be as happy as an angel. Now, if you don't mind, see the people who are on the telephone hookup, they can't see what I'm doing, so I know they get awfully impatient. But if you don't mind, I have to make a few notes here as I go. Coming back to the questions we asked in the very beginning, what is America? Oh, when I tell you what America is, you are going to question what I say in the light of your own idea of what America is. But if many out here and many on the hookup, they're just going to be trusting that their imam sees better than they do. Now that's what makes me feel so good. That's why I come out here and that's why I hate to leave you. Because I know there are some people out here that are my friends. And I don't mean friends. I'm not talking about friends for me personally. But a person
person who gives lip service or who pretends to be there paying attention, and all the time he's attacking everything I say with undue suspicion, is my enemy. That person is my enemy. I don't treat the white man like that. And you know I have all kind of justifications for treating them bad. If I wanted to do that, without respect for my religion. In your judgment, I have all kinds of justification to treat the white man like a dog. For what they have done to us. But I wouldn't even treat the white man like you all treat me. No, I wouldn't. If he was from the South, if he was a descendant of Bilbo, and I knew it. The descendant of Bilbo. He's coming, he's talking to me, and he's trying to say something good to me. I wouldn't just sit and look at him and stare him down and question everything he's saying, you know. If he's saying something good, I'd listen. If he's talking not good, I'd relax. I'd be cautious. If he go all the way out left, you know, or he do something real wrong, I'll catch him. Going back to these questions now, what is America? The average one of us, America is a free nation. I've heard that crap long enough. It's a free power. Ain't no free nation. Well, I'm free. You think about that again, and you're gonna laugh at your own ignorance. I used to be a welder, and we would make jigs. The bigger the metal, the stronger and bigger the jig has to be. You know, the bigger the job you're working on, the bigger and stronger the jig has to be. A little light job, you can have a little light jig. Some jobs you don't need no jig. You can just get your hand and hold the thing. And weld it. Just weld it and put it together real nicely. But if it gets to be big and kind of sprawled out a bit, you have to put a jig on it. America is a sprawled out people in a jig. That's right. Just because you're moving around physically, you think you're free. Freedom is not in your physical movement. That's not the definition of constitutional freedom or human freedom. Your freedom is in the movement of your intelligence. In the movement of your intelligence. Free dome. You know what the dome of the man is? His head. Your feet are gone and you think you're free. Freedom ain't no free feet, it's free dome. Head. And we don't have the exercise of freedom in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our people to even recognize a leader. We're afraid that the majority mind outside of our race may be against accepting that particular leader. We look at our leader and say, will everybody like him? Everybody like him, say we don't care. But if we think that he is at odds with the majority of the people, we don't want, we can't follow that leader. And we'd tell the white man before we ask him. You know, I like the Muslims, but I couldn't be one. And you only say that because the white man has paid compliments to us. The white man said, you know, the Muslims, they do and say they discipline people and they this and that. Well, that have registered on your mind, so you would like the white man to know that I recognize that good too, Charlie. But I won't be one. America is an experimental society. That's what we have to understand. America is not a real society. It's not a real society. It was never intended to be a real society. America is an experimental society. It is an opportunity for the experimentation on human freedom, the nature of freedom in the human creature. It's an opportunity for them to experiment on that, to see what is the limit of human power. What is the limits of human nature? A particular people is invisible leadership of this world. You believe in an invisible plan? Well, let me tell you, they're much more visible than the ones I'm talking about now. Those people established America for experiment on human nature. So they can see just how to bring out the greatest production in the human being. Production was the object of the American experiment. I'm giving you facts. But some of you laugh at it. I was talking to a big man, not a small one, one of the biggest ones we got. I ain't gonna tell you who he was. I'm gonna say that. I'm gonna let him burn his own fire. Just here very recently. And I said something that is just as factual as what I just said then. But his mind couldn't grasp it. He had no proof for it. He's fickle. And then look at the PhD possessor, who was also an imam. He looked at him and tried to elicit from him some kind of response that will make him feel satisfied that he was right and laughing at what I said. He looked at the PhD and said, ain't I right? He's pretty stupid, ain't he? Now, this is what I'm telling you. You want to be righteous? You want to be God's helper? This is what you have to suffer. Your own close aides will laugh at your intelligence because they don't understand it. They can't see through your thesis, so they laugh at it. Well, every knock is a boost. For the righteous, we are determined. We expect this kind of criticism and opposition right in our own circle. We expect it. You think I'll go and tell the man, look, you can't be no imam anymore? If I did that, we won't have nothing about two or three imams. Well, you think I'd do something like that? I can tolerate it. Let us look now at the Bible and see what the Bible says. Says when the fullness of the Gentile is come, that will be the end. The end of what? The end of the American experiment. But we are going to explore, experiment with the nature of the people that will live under the Gentiles until we have ran it to its limit. When the fullness of the Gentile has come, then, that's it, the end will be. Now, dear beloved people, haven't I told you many times that there are forces working to finish off America? Because they are in accord with their plans to bring in a complete new order and start the same game all over again. And within another 500 or 900 or 10,000 years or more, they will have another society just like this in this same city. And a new experiment will start all over again. And they will be experimenting and playing with human nature to bring out the greatest production for their pockets, for their power feet, for their rule over all the people of the earth. That isn't too much for the majority of you. You don't have faith. Do you think I would tell you these things thinking that you had some knowledge to verify it? This would make my eyes pop out if I had seen it suddenly. Now, when the economists met in Europe, this was a long time ago, but not too long, maybe 100 years, less long. Maybe 50 years, something like that. Anyway, they met because the economic principle of the Western world was in trouble. And it wasn't producing for them like they thought it should. It was slowing down because they had reached that limit with that particular principle of philosophy of production. The top ones met. And you can bet Jacobite was sitting among them. He never faced them face to face. He always had to be unknown in the circle. I'm talking about the chief devils. Yeah, I ain't talking about the Jews. Jews themselves in a trick bag, most of them. Only certain ones of their father's knowledge run this show I'm talking about. Yes. So they met. And they said, we have produced everything that the people want. People are not demanding anything else. So you know them, the important principles in economics is what? Supply and demand. So they said, if people are not demanding anything else, then what are we going to do? The one appointed to tell them what to do, he said, go back and produce anything. So this shows us that they had reached the point where the economy had no respect. They reached that point where they were going to sacrifice all morals, all ethics, and just make the money. I'm not speaking to you something now that can't be verified. What I'm saying is on record. That go and produce anything. And they ask, what is the philosophy? What is the psychology for that? That you can get a human being to buy anything, all you have to do is create an appetite in him for it. Now, if you tell me that's not the kingdom of Satan on earth, where is it? Well, we just want to understand what's going on. Now, before I come to the next question, I want to bring out something else that's in the very name America. Let us now go back to their book, where the evil, the architect of wickedness in the world, is called Prince of the Air. We know in our religion that the Semitic people who are from the Bible, a lot of us don't know that. Here's somebody talking about you anti-Semitic. You don't know that also mean anti-Arab because they are too Semitic. But the Jew uses it, that's to his own advantage.
said I'm not anti-Jewish. I got a lot of friends among the Jews. And some of them are real genuine friends. Now, they have to be to like me still. We know that the word for Eve, Hawa, also pronounced Hava, refers directly to appetite. Thinking in their book now.
Don't you go and write it down. You go write it down. You take it to Sheikh Bushi Bushi.
Yes. And you tell him, look what the Imam said is in the scripture. This is not in the Holy Quran. Spoke anything but English. He was born speaking English, and that's all he speaks. So I'll say he's foreign because he talks that way. He's crazy. That's why he talks that way. But don't blame him. The devil taught him to eat the wrong food when he was a little baby. Him of my spirit, then you obey him. But
which tells us that he had a soul before. Someone or some society had breathed into him a spirit that wasn't the spirit of God.
All right.
Okay. America. America. Prince
of the human spirituality. His blind impulses. You don't believe someone or some hidden power, some force is dominating your appetite, your inclination? You don't believe that there's someone setting the pattern of your own soul? Well, if you don't believe it, you're certainly out of touch, baby. And I've certainly been working with you hard for the last hour almost now. And I'm sorry to hear that I'm not reaching you because it's plain as day. We don't have the knowledge to verify, but we have our own self as witness. We know ourselves that we have been manipulated. That we are not the master of our own appetite. That the influences just overwhelm our little friends. And our appetite is patterned by forces beyond our ability. You know that. That's how come we're economically weak at a time where there's economic opportunity. Yes. Look here, for a decade or so, we've had great economic opportunity, but we are more economically weak than we were 2 decades ago. And that's a fact. When you look at the state of the whole people, we are more dependent now economically or financially than we have been since slavery. And that's a fact. So shouldn't that tell you something is awfully wrong? Something is awfully wrong. Now, you who understand what I'm talking about, and you go out and continue the same old habits that you've always been carrying, don't you know you are crazy and deserving of hellfire? You're deserving of the punishment of hell. Yes! If you didn't have no understanding of God, this understanding should at least make you feel indebted to your souls of your ancestors. And say, look, for my ancestors, I'm going to do this. Yes! For that sake, for the innocent ones in the history of my ancestors who wanted to gain something and didn't know this wicked scheme, I'm going to get up and make something of my life and help society move ahead. I'm going to fight this scheme with all the forces I have in my power. That's what it requires of us. And I think a lot, that's some good soldiers. See, I don't tell you about my strength. I got more strength than you think I got. I got a lot of good soldiers. And they're not all here in the mess yet. They're in the streets. And they let the imam know that they are hip to what he's doing and they're ready to support it. In fact, they are supporting it outside better than many of you are supporting it here. Many of them haven't been converted to the religion, but they accept the leadership. Oh, yes. A Christian told me and my wife, she said, he's our leader. We didn't answer to tell me that. She said, he's our leader. She said, we used to follow Dr. King. Say, but he's our leader now. And this wasn't no fool. This is a woman with degrees. From the institutions that you worship. Family. And the Christian lady came up and someone, she got up from the table where she was and she walked over to me. And I was looking down and she thought I was in deep concentration. She had more respect for me than many of you. She didn't even speak to me. She left me alone because she felt that I was in God. Because I was. My eyes was on what I was looking at on the table. So she told my wife, she said, I just want to tell you that I listened to your husband's broadcast, and we really appreciate it.
That's all she said. That's all she said.
But Mr. Bighead, from the Yakov teaching, he has no respect.
When we really wake up to the extent of slave-making designs on the people of so-called free world, but more so on the so-called people of the free world, we will really do something about it. And I don't mean go out and raise hell, go out and try to tear things down. You can't defeat this thing by going knocking down a building or shooting somebody out there in the street. That ain't the way it is. The best way to defeat this thing is to follow me, support what I teach, bring in as much as you can, bring more souls out of the clutches of the grave and hell. That's the way we defeat this. But be prepared to defend your own rights in the way that the world is defending their rights if you have to. Some of you all know, you're afraid to hear me say that if they come here, if they push us too far, we have to fight. Wouldn't any other Americans fight? If some part of America start denying them their rights as Americans, wouldn't they fight if they carried it to too far the stream? Certainly. So if these people carry their persecution and oppression of us too far, we have to fight. And believe me, I'll be the first one to go out. I wouldn't ask of you anything that I wouldn't do. I'd be the first one to go out. I'm not a fighter. I've never been trained how to shoot guns. But I do my best. And hope that each day I get better. Hey, you have to have parents. You have to be men and women. Now we asked another question in the opening. We said, what is Christianity? Thinking I'm going to talk on this for 2 hours. You know, Christianity is a big subject. But I'm not going to talk about what Christianity is in its context, or in content, pardon me. I'm going to talk about what Christianity is in principle. In its applied principle. Christianity is a religion that is designed to bring about correction, reform, by the application of love. By the application of love, it is designed to bring about reform and correction in the lives of people. For good, so that they will be good people, so that they will be loving people. This is what Christianity is. I know you wanted me, you thought I was going to say Christianity is a hemlock. Is a principle. It's a religion that holds up a principle that human being is basically good. And if you apply goodness from a heart and an attitude and a disposition of goodness, you will get good as a response in the people. People will have good. They will respond with good in themselves. Christianity takes the position that no human being is a devil. No. That every human being has a spark of divine life in him. Now, by divine life, does it mean that he's a devil? Well, foolishly, yes, that's a simple level of understanding would say he's a god. Oh, he has God in him. But they don't mean that. They mean that he has an inherent goodness.
But they do law
has an inherent tendency for wickedness, for sin. And they believe that the sinner, that he only can be good if he is saved.
All right?
This is what they believe. Our argument with that idea is that the human being is good, left alone, only becomes wicked when he's bothered. See, we think just the opposite argument. That a human being is good, left alone. But he becomes bad because he's bothered. Now, isn't that true?
You know that, right? And then you look down, idiot, and that's
it. They didn't inherit it. I can't inherit a wicked soul. No. I can inherit certain traits from my parents and relatives that will let me do certain appetites or inclinations that I will have, but not in criminality. And this was established by the criminal scientists of America years ago. That criminal behavior is not inherited. That was their position. So they took a position verifying the Quran then. Is that right? Certainly. That man is made right and he goes wrong because of a tendency to get off of what? His inherent nature. He leaves his inherent nature. And the devil, he steps. Alluring pack up and put attractions there. So when you come into this world, there's something there blinking, flipping. Come on. Let it all hang out. Do your own thing, you know? And the people, by them being weak and intelligent and exposed to that without the guidance of God, they fall into the trap and become wicked. It's not because we're made that way. Do we have any more proof? Yes, we do. Okay, our anthropologists. Concept of evil. They were one, nothing but one family of love. They were just affectionate, loved each other. Why? Because Jacob hadn't got there. Jacob might have got there. Now, if we can meet them with encouraging and teaching, that respects their own nature, Quran, all those people could come and advance right on up without ever having faith, hell's portion. Yes. So we don't talk from guesswork. We're not talking from stupid imagination. We're talking from facts and reality. We are scientists. Do you know that?
Oh, boy. It's a thing that I have to tell you that.
Mentality. Here's where the problem is. You have Christianity that has a good principle.
I don't like it because it deprives the individual of his due share of personal dignity. You know, I don't like it.
But it is.